in, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. That old geezer that has all kinds of good tech goodies for you. Okay, technically I'm not that old, but that's okay. I just like computer curmudgeon, even though I can't pronounce it. Computer curmudgeon. It just has a ring to it. And of course, that is the website you need to be going to, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. thecomputercurmudgeon.com. The place to find your tech news every single day. Yes, tech news available for you at any time that you need it. And of course, you know you need it, right? You really do. Because tech news for us geeks is what we thrive on. Because where else would you go but to a member of the Tech Podcast Network? Yes, I must remember to share with you tech podcast info information. There's a whole lot of folks on the Tech Podcast Network. And one of the ones is John W. Chambers. He has a podcast called The 1 Minute Tip. Now, what can you do in 1 minute? Well, you can get tips from John Chambers.
Short on time? Check out The 1 Minute Tip, a collection of short podcasted tips, interviews, quick starts, and videos covering the technologies we use every day. A great little podcast to wedge between the minutes of your busy day. Check out The 1 Minute Tip at www.oneminutetip.com.
Now, you know, it just strikes me here that he has 1 minute to get you information that's beneficial. 1 minute! I mean, he could do that podcast during a break while he's watching TV. Me, what? I take 30 minutes. That's a whole lot more time. I mean, that's time for 30 of his podcasts. Boy, that's just not fair. But that's okay. It takes me longer to do something, I guess. He's just more efficient than I am. Maybe that's it. Yeah, he's just more efficient. But I guarantee you that part of the issue there is he doesn't share with you weird, strange geek culture moments that you've come to know and love from Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. Yes, this week we have another weird Al Yankovic song to share with you. Now, I would encourage you to go to YouTube and actually watch the video, because the video is kind of weird as well. Being weird Al Yankovic, that makes sense. But the song is kind of cool, too, and it is called Bedrock Anthem.
Name of Bonnie Rumble. He's a midget, but he makes a lot of trouble. Doesn't like to
Yeah, they gotta do. Words to live by.
All right. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yabba dabba do now. Words, as I said, to live by. And you go, you know, the Flintstones, these old dudes from, you know, what, the Jurassic Age or whatever, come on, Dr. Bill, what does that have to do with technology? Well, it has a lot to do with technology, because our first item in our tech news this week is email for the old. In other words, is email relegated to the days of Bedrock and the Flintstones? Ah, yes. As I say in the article, I am indeed a curmudgeon. It's official. Why, you might ask? Because I can remember a day, yes, Sonny, I can remember way back when email was cutting edge. Oh, yeah, I remember that day. Oh, yeah, I do. Wasn't all that many years ago. You see, back in the day, oh, the 80s, early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, I was trying desperately to get people in the corporate world to understand that email was a beneficial tool. People just, they weren't even used to having computers on their desks, and they sure weren't used to them being connected together with a network, and they absolutely positively weren't used to them sending email back and forth and using it as a business tool. And I was trying desperately. In this particular organization, full of scientists. Now, these are not supposed to be people that are, you know, dull, Luddite types that can't understand technology. These are scientists, researchers, R&D people. We were the R&D Information Systems Group, and I was desperately trying to get them to use email. Now, granted, at the time, it was on a fax, and the email was through a terminal. It was, yes, I know, back in the old Stone Age days of computers. But that was cutting-edge new stuff that they didn't even want to bother with. Now, lo, these short 20-some years later, young people are saying, oh, email, that's for old fogies. That's so last millennium. Because they're using IM, instant messaging. Well, all instant messaging is email done instantly. And you may say, yeah, but see, it's cooler because it's new. No, it's not. That same VAX system that I was using email on and trying to get people to use it as a business tool had a utility called phone. And with phone, you could contact someone. They could type information in. You would see it echoed, and then you type your information in, you'd see it echoed. You could say, hi, how you doing? Oh, great. Back and forth. That was instant messaging. And it was on that same 20-year-old VAX computer system. So don't tell me it's new technology. It's new that they're using it, but they're still 20 years behind the times. No, email as a tool still has uses and still has benefits. Instant messaging may seem cooler, but email is still beneficial, in my humble opinion. And, of course, you know that you'll get my humble opinion here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, because it's my show, okay? Deal with it. I'm just kidding. Still true, but I'm just kidding. All right, next item, VMware. By the way, VMware truly rocks. Oh, man, you've got to use VMware. It is just so cool. Anyway, VMware releases a new converter tool, transforming physical systems to virtual systems, P2V, in the lingo of virtualization. Oh, man, virtual computing just really rocks, okay? You gotta play with it. And this tool will allow you to play with it because it's a new release called, VMware Converter. I lost track of my story there for a second. But it's a beta version of this new Converter 3 software. And I tell you what, all you got to do is give them your name and address. Okay, so they can send you some literature. And you can download it and play with it and virtualize your old computer system. See, at work we have some old systems that are, oh man, it's running on hardware that is so old it's liable to croak at any moment. So you take that old system and you virtualize it, and now it's running as a virtual session on a brand new computer, and you can migrate it and move it wherever you want to if you want to run it on yet another computer. Easy enough to do because the hardware is all virtualized, and you can run it on anything that will run VMware. Rock on! It is so cool. At work, on my laptop, I'm running Windows XP, of course. What else would I be running in a Microsoft shop? But I'm running VMware, and I have a session that I can run even full screen that's running FreeSpire Linux. Oh, yes, and I get to play with Linux right there on my laptop using VMware. Oh, it is so cool because, you know, when I'm away from work, obviously I wouldn't do this on my work, but when I'm away from work with my laptop, I can run Frozen Bubble. And if you have not run Frozen Bubble, you're missing out on one of the great joys in computing. Frozen Bubble, check it out. It rocks. Now, I know there's some of you like, you know, like World of Warcraft and all this kind of stuff, but Frozen Bubble, I'm telling you, Frozen Bubble rocks. Okay, next item. Speaking of World of Warcraft, which is hard to say repetitively, so I won't. There is a new version of Crossover Office, a beta that is out, that now supports World of Warcraft. Now, first of all, you got to understand, I'm not a gamer. My son Ben, he is the game master, okay? Dude, that dude was on purpose. Dude, he is the game master. I, however, am not. Not even close. However, I am given to understand that World of Warcraft is supposed to be a pretty rocking game. Okay? And I also understand that there's another game called Half-Life 2, and there's another game called Counter-Strike that are also similar in the same genre, shall we say, of games that are stream-based games. Okay, yeah, I just noticed a typo on my website where I typed Steam-based. I will correct that. You go there and see that I put Steam-based games. See, that would make it a very old game, because if it was running on Steam, it wouldn't be very modern, would it? No. I meant to type stream-based games. That just struck me as very odd, given that I just played a song about Bedrock and ancient technology and email, and then we're talking about Steam-based games. Okay. The doctor has a weird sense of humor. I know. Okay, that's okay. Anyway, bottom line is, these stream-based games apparently are very hard to run virtually on top of a layer in Linux. And so now, with this new beta version of Crossover Office, you can play World of Warcraft and Half-Life 2 and, what was the other one, Counter-Strike, all on Linux. How cool is that? Pretty doggone cool, I suppose, although I wouldn't know because I can't even type the R in stream, apparently. But it's there now, so if you go look at the article now, you'll see stream instead of steam, because I just fixed it while I was talking, because I can multitask like a computer. Next item. Splash pages on websites. What do you think? I think they're lame. In my humble opinion, again, my opinion, they're lame. See, here's the thing about splash pages. You go to a website and you see this black screen and some image starts slowly forming. And there's a little link at the bottom that says skip. the intro. What do you do? Probably the same thing I do. You skip the intro. You don't even watch it. You immediately skip it. But here's what you're not thinking about, website owner that has that splash page that everybody's skipping. When the robot from Google, the little web bot, comes by to scan your site, what does it see first? It sees the splash page, which has no textual information for it to scan, which may possibly not even have a good solid HTML link into the content of your website, and so it gets skipped and doesn't get sucked into the search engine, which is how you're going to have people find it and come to your site, and so you're doomed because of that stupid splash page. Now, the problem is, people who want websites, customers that go to website hosting companies like DrBillBailey.net, my company, they come to me and say, dude, I want this really cool splash page that has graphics and flash images and all this cool stuff. And I look at him and go, oh, man, how am I going to convince this guy they don't want a splash page? Well, guess what? Somebody has written a nice article called How to Convince a Client They Don't Need a Splash Page that covers it really, really well. Now, what do you think about it? Do you think splash pages are worth the fact that you'll never get into the search engines ever in your whole life? I don't think so. Okay, moving on. Next item, Star Trek teleporting. Looks like it's getting closer. Now, I had two comments from, actually one comment and then my reply, so two comments on the article, but one comment from Dark Moon. Dark Moon, of course, is our buddy from Lux et Umbra, Light and Darkness in the Latin. Lux et Umbra, a blog that has all kinds of good techie goodness, tech articles, just like Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, but with a slightly younger, darker bent to it, shall we say. Anyway, Dark Moon sent me a comment to this little blog article that I did that said, Dr. Bill, you are wrong. This is not Star Trek teleporting technology. It doesn't work the same way. And of course I replied to him, Dark Moon, dude, you know, I was just talking about teleporting in general, not the specific technology. And I even told him, I think you're trying to out-trick me, because he caught me on a technical error. Error. Those of you that are checkers will realize that, of course, comes from the original series episode about Nomad. Think about it. Anyway. These small Trek references, you see, are for those true Trekkers out there. Not Trekkies, Trekkers. Trekkers are those that are serious about Star Trek, like moi. Anyway, I digress rather thoroughly. Dark Moon was, of course, just trying to help clarify the technical aspects of the teleporting. However, the cool part is here that these physicists in Denmark have actually teleported information from light to matter, bringing quantum communication and computing closer to reality. Until now, scientists have teleported similar objects, such as light or single atoms, over short distances from one spot to another in a split second. But Professor Eugene Polzik, that's a hard name to say, and his team at the Niels Bohr Institute in Copenhagen University in Denmark have made a breakthrough in which both light and matter. It is one step further, because for the first time it involves teleportation. I gotta get Granny to adjust my tongue. Nah. Okay. Teleportation between light and matter, two different objects. One is the carrier of information, and the other one is the storage medium. The experiment involved for the first time a macroscopic atomic object containing thousands of billions of atoms. They also teleported the information of a distance of half a meter, but believe it can be extended further. Now, I don't know about you, but if teleportation ever does come to fruition, shall we say, I personally will not partake of that particular technology. Normally, I'm right on the cutting edge. I like that, but I don't want my atoms disassembled and moved via light beam from one position to another. I'll just join Dr. McCoy in that regard and say, no thank you. Next item, Canonical, which are the people behind Ubuntu Linux, expects to be profitable within 2 years. Now, the cool thing is, in South Africa, Mark Shuttleworth, who is a billionaire, is funding Canonical, which is a 65-employee startup company that has written Ubuntu Linux. Ubuntu, of course, meaning mankind fellowshipping together, we are all part of one another, and so forth. All of that cosmic is a Linux that has taken the world by storm. People love this version of Linux, okay? And it's very cool, and they work very hard at it, and it really installs easily, and so a lot of people are using it. And unlike a lot of other open source companies, they don't just offer their current cutting-edge version for free and take their solid, stable version and charge for it, like, shall we say, Red Hat. They have the same exact quality version available for free, and then they also offer support if you want it, full-time support. Pretty doggone cool. And that's their business model, and they expect to be profitable within 2 years. That's pretty neat. So Linux is making strides. It's coming a long way. Now, in the time I have left, I want to mention my old buddy, old pal, Scott Redman. Give him props. Because what Scott did recently is he sent me some headers. You notice the header to my blog? Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the cute little header there with the doctor is in thing. Scott did that for me. Scott is an artist with the computer. The dude rocks when it comes to graphics, okay? He is the webmaster at Guilford County. Yes, the county in which I live. He's the webmaster. I used to be the webmaster. Now he's the webmaster. That's okay. Scott had big shoes to fill because I'm a big dude, okay? But he fills them admirably. And of course, he's quite a character. Matter of fact, working with him, the period that I worked with him was quite an experience because he is just a little bit over the edge, let's say. He would sit in his office and sing and scream and make strange noises, and it was a lot of fun. Okay? Now, they put us, he and I sat at the end of a very long hall away from everybody else, you know, except a few people that had to put up with us that were very close to us. But mostly we were way at the other end of the building from all the other people who were, oh, shall we say, higher up the evolutionary scale of business than we are, you know. So anyway, Scott and I got to sit back there and pretty much just be crazy. Yes. And so we got to know each other, and it was a lot of fun. And Scott, like I said, is really cool with the graphics. And so he's given me some graphics that we'll be sharing with you over time, you know. And really cool. And I asked him to do me a Christmas graphic. I'm looking forward to that because I think it's going to be very cool and inventive. And I love Christmas. It's just such a cool time of year. I know it's not Christmas yet, okay? Don't write me an email that says, Dr. Bill, it's just October. It's not December yet. But see, I'm giving him plenty of time for the creative juices to flow so that he can come up with some cool stuff, okay? So he sent that. And